Turn to Isaiah 53 again. And I'm going to do what I did several nights ago. Read from a couple, three in fact, leading commentaries and scholars on this passage that in the King James simply does not read properly. Third verse of Isaiah 53. He's a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. A man of pain. Makabot. Pain associated with sickness. A man of sorrows, no, pain. And acquainted with grief. Hali. Disease, not grief. I told you to scratch it out. A man of pain, acquainted with grief. No, acquainted with disease. Fourth verse, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. No. Surely he hath borne our diseases. Haloinu, same root. Hali, disease. Not griefs, disease. This is the prophecy of what Christ did on Calvary. A man of pain, acquainted with disease, surely he hath borne our pain, or rather our diseases, not griefs, and carried our pain. And as I said last night, stricken, smitten of God, the word nagi, which is to touch. And I read a series of passages where an angel touched. The angel that touched Isaiah's lips with the coal off the altar. The angel that touched Daniel and brought him to his feet. The angel that touched, physical contact, Jacob when they were wrestling and he walked with a limp thereafter. God who touched the wicked king in 2 Kings 15 verse 5. And struck him with leprosy. His physical contact producing change, cleansing the lips of Isaiah, bringing Daniel to his feet physically, crippling Jacob, smiting a king with leprosy. God touched Jesus on the cross and gave him affliction. Stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. With his stripes, we are healed. And as I said last night, many, many times, people who teach on the atonement point to that phrase as Matthew did and Peter did, and modern preachers who rightly believe the atonement. With his stripes, we are healed. But it seems sort of a little footnote put on from the King James, a series of verses that say nothing about diseases. But when you translate these words properly, a man of pain and acquainted with disease, surely he hath borne our diseases and carried our pains, smitten, touched by God with affliction, and with his stripes having been laden with those which he bore and carried away, we are healed. Peter looking back, we were healed. Now I'm going to read, as I did the other night, having said that the translation in the King James is pains and diseases. Here's the Anchor Bible, 2 Isaiah. Modern scholars who believe there were multiple authors for the book of Isaiah. Not just one. I don't agree with them. But at least they translate right. Third verse. He was despised, lowest of men, a man of pains, familiar with disease, and I pointed out the other night, made to become acquainted with disease. Fourth verse, but it was our diseases that he bore, our pains that he carried, touched by God with affliction. With his stripes we are healed. That's one. I did this the other night, but repeat it. Here's the New International Commentary on the Old Testament. Powerful commentary. Their translation. I'll go back some ways to get the third verse. Third verse. He was despised, a rejection of people, a man of pain, one who knows sickness. Fourth verse. But surely it was our sickness he carried, our pains he bore. I give them credit, they translate right. Keel and DeLeish. Maybe as much respected as any Old Testament scholars. Third verse, he was despised and forsaken by men. And Keel does a lot with the word where people assume that it's being talking about Beni Adam as the man, but it's not. It's Shadal Ishim, which means lords or men of renown, forsaken by all men of power and renown. I mean, Keel plows into the Hebrew. A man of griefs and well acquainted with disease. Sorry he stuck to grief, because it is disease. Fourth verse. Verily he hath, and he translates right here, verily he hath borne our diseases and our pains. He hath laden them upon himself. I doubt there's a better commentator than Matthew. I think he's probably better than all these people. The gospel writer. In the 8th chapter, a series of physical healings occur. A leper, Peter's mother with fever, the servant where he just spoke the word of the centurion, people healed of various diseases. And Matthew, recording these physical diseases, says, and I'm going to quote this commentary on the New Testament by Linsky, disregarding the Septuagint. Now, I think that's interesting. No, he didn't. He quoted a Septuagint earlier than the one you buy in the bookstores, which more accurately translated the Hebrew that was available to the first Septuagint translators. But he, as they say, giving credence to the current Septuagint being circulated, disregarding the Septuagint, Matthew himself translates Isaiah 53 with exactness from the Old Testament Hebrew. Jesus took, nosa's the word in the Hebrew, I can tell you, which is to take to oneself and carry away. The Greek used by Matthew is lambano, or lambanai. You've heard me out of the book of Hebrews use this word in a conjoint word with many. Epilambano, talking about the mystery of God bending down to save us when he didn't do it for fallen angels. And the combination of words means to bend and to stoop with the intent to help and to take up. To take up. And nasa in the Hebrew means to take and carry away, take to himself and carry away. And bore, the Hebrew is sabal, which is to take a heavy burden on you and carry it. Bastazine is the Greek word, which is carried as a load. Matthew says in Isaiah 53, Jesus, lambanine, takes to himself to carry away, and bore, bastazine, carried as a load, all the ailments that came upon men as the result of sin. The thought is not merely that he took hold of these ailments and rid the sufferers of them. Isaiah 53:4-7 describes the Messiah as our substitute. Loaded down with our terrible burden, he appears as the suffering and dying Messiah. From this grand prophetic portrait, Matthew quotes one line, which, however, he regards as part of the whole. Jesus loaded on himself all our sins and the penalty thereof, which included sicknesses. Treated these sins and the ravages of those sins, including our sicknesses, as a burden laid on him, freeing men of the grip of their sins and the disease and pains brought on them as a result of sin. Not necessarily sick because you sinned. All sickness has its root in Adam and Eve's separation. And as the first Adam brought this curse on us, the second Adam lifted it. And as I said, just as God cannot say no to our forgiveness and redemption of sins, the ransom was paid. To say no is to violate the trust of the covenant of the blood of his Son and question the worth and the completeness of what Christ did. When you look through these elements and you take this cup, as Paul said, and take worthily by discerning the Lord's body, and see that in this cup we have that emblem of his blood that was shed for me, God can't say no as the heart of faith reaches up and says, I'm made worthy by the blood of the Lamb. Take the cup and thank God for that as we take together. He can't say no to the bread. Same Christ, same act, same completeness of the act, same covenant. With his stripes, he bore our pains and our diseases. The Lord laid on him our sicknesses and our infirmities, as well as our transgressions and our sins. He took them to himself and carried them away. He bore them as a burden and lifted them off of us. And just as we pass out from underneath our sins, God cannot say no without violating the worth of his Son, the faithfulness to that contract with his Son before all the denizens of heaven. What is at stake here is not my worth, my worthiness, the worth of his Son, and the adequacy of the act, and the faithfulness of God's promise. With his stripes, I was healed. Say it with me. With his stripes, I was healed. And take it with me together, rejoicing. Trust in God.